Mentioned this morning that 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is a passage that gets into the topic of tongues, which is a very unique gift. It was a gift that was given to the church as it had a specific purpose. And I don't want to say too much because we're going to get into it a little bit later on what the purpose of that gift was. But the gift was only as good as it would edify. It was only as good as it would edify the body of Christ. And so the edification of the body was of utmost importance. And that is very clear. When you take the situation of the gift itself, which is very unique, especially think about it just for a moment. You've got the gift of something that was used many, many, many years ago. And then it ceased. There wasn't a need for it, a purpose for it anymore, and so then it ended. And then it kind of laid there. And now, you know, we try to understand and pick it up. It's very difficult to really understand exactly what that gift even looked like and what it was like. Because honestly, I want you to think about that gift of tongues. Other than the passages that speak of, like 1 Corinthians chapter 14, do we read instances where tongues are actually being used? Okay? Very little of anything. When we find believers praying, how do we find them praying? In a regular tongue. We don't have any instances of anything like that except for some of these passages when the early church started for just a very short time. And so that, and then in combination with the interesting culture and society that was going on, which was very, very, very unique at that point in time, which I will share at a later time what that background was, then take all of that and look at what the Apostle Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it becomes, as I mentioned this morning, one of the most, if not the most difficult chapters in the Bible to really understand. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about to make the decision of whether tongues, the gift of tongues is for today or not and what it was like. I say that's fairly easy. I don't think, I'm not, certainly not debating that. That's clear. When it comes to taking the scripture, chapter 14, and going line by line and precept upon precept and understanding what he's saying, that becomes very difficult. What did he mean by this? And why is it said this way, and in the next line it's said this way? I want to faithfully share that with you, but I can tell you that we're not going to look at that tonight. And some of you are like, oh, I thought we were going to finally get to it. And I was actually excited as well. But I will say this, I want to be faithful at what I'm doing, and I feel that there's just, I have enough questions still, not about whether it's legitimate or not, or what should we be, when should we be using it, or should it be used. That's not the question. I can really quickly right now tell you the reasons why it's something that we not use today, but the purpose and how it was used, the passage is kind of clear on that. But as far as the being able to understand the precepts that are there, it's difficult. I forget if I mentioned this morning, but I was reading one individual, and he said that he had read 100 books. I don't know if I said that this morning. He said he had read 100 books on the topic of tongues. And he said, in 100 books, I didn't find two guys that completely agreed. Well, that I look at that and I say, wow, I have not read 100 books on the topic. And I understand, though, because there's a lot of things involved, and it even comes to even how you interpret Scripture. And that can be a big thing on that issue. And so I would rather wait until I feel like I can give you some good, solid truth. Again, I will tell you that next week or whatever it is that I get up and share 1 Corinthians 14 with you, I can assure you one of the first things that I'm going to say is I do not have all the answers, and I'm not sure that I'm going to understand this until I get to heaven. I know that that's the answer. I know that's the answer, because any honest person dividing the truth out with that topic will have to tell you that they don't have all the answers, because there are some very difficult things in the passage to say, okay, you just made a point about all those verses. What about that verse? And to tell you the truth, that hit me. And I have a question still. I thought I had things ironed out, and I came to another question. I said, ew, that one's another tough thing right there. And I have not been able to smooth it out in my mind to where I can give that to you. And so whether or not that disappoints you tonight, I'm sorry. I'm a little bit disappointed, because I was eager to get going on it, at least continuing on it. But just to be faithful to God's word, I don't really feel like I want to get up and just kind of just... do a quick job on it and ignore a few of the difficulties that are there. I'd at least like to know enough that I can give you the problematic things that are there so you understand what we're up against. And so I feel like I need a little bit more time to get that to you. So just as soon as I feel comfortable to give that to you, give you the truth, I hope that even brings you a little comfort yourself, that my agenda is not to just kind of surface a topic and just hope that no one asks any questions. That's not what I want. I want you to at least understand enough. We're not going to understand everything about it, but we are going to understand some main things, and I really want to have those down so that I can give those to you. And so after lots of wrestling and praying, I pulled the plug this afternoon on this one and asked God to give me something else. And to tell you the truth, that did not come quickly. And so I feel like I actually wrestled all afternoon for something else. And God was not opening anything up to me until at the last moment. And so I want to give you some things that I hope will help you, that are very fresh on my mind. Brother Reed shared with us in our meetings about praying big, right? We ought to pray big. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited. And there's things that we're praying big. We're praying that God would do some things, even in our family. Of course, one of those things is providing a home for us. We're really praying that God would do something very soon. with that. But you know, if you're like me, I still have a lot of questions about praying big. And to tell you the truth, I have a lot of fears with it, because there's, we like to go and we like to kind of cancel everything out, because it, especially when we wait. Have you ever struggled in prayer with waiting? Like me? You pray for things, and have you found that there are some days that you're just filled with faith? Have you found that there are other days that faith is so gone? You know, one day I feel like, man, I'm like Caleb, give me that mountain, you know, right? And you feel just like, you know, kids, we're going to have a family devotion tonight. God's gonna do all this. And I don't know what it is that I wake up the next morning and it's all gone. I'm like, where'd it go? Where'd the mountain go? Where'd Caleb go? I feel that way sometimes. And I feel like, you know, I go up and am I just the only one? Can I get some nods? Does anybody else feel this way with prayer sometimes? Okay, so I'm getting some nods. Good, thank you. Okay, I'm not the only one. Persevering in prayer is tough. Where do we end up finding ourselves a lot of times with these big prayers? We pray and pray and pray, and what do we tend to do a lot of times? We end up giving up. Because we kind of get to the point where we're filled with faith for a while, and then there's no evidence out there. There's no light. There's no shore. And we say, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is not right. Maybe, you know, I thought God was leading me this way, but maybe I'm confused. And so what we do is we end up kind of just fizzling out with our prayer. And then we just stop praying about it. And we move on to something else. And what tends to happen is we tend to bring ourselves to praying just for the things that make sense, that God can do easily, right? And it's because we're defeated in faith with big prayer, and we're not willing to persevere. We're not willing to go through it, even though we see nothing, until we stop. Well, if you're not connecting with me yet, then I don't know what you're going to get out of the message. But if you're here and you're connecting with me, I got a great passage for you to go to. First Kings chapter 18. If you would, for a few minutes this evening. First Kings chapter 18. It must have been a unique ministry to be a prophet of the Lord. You know, some of the prophets, they were, I would say, very familiar people across Judah and Israel, but certainly not popular people as far as well-liked, because they preached a message that went against what they were doing for the most part. In Judah, in Israel, mostly in Israel, but even a lot of Judah, there was a lot of things that were going wrong. They were not following God. They had said no to Jehovah. They had gone to their own things. They had gone to their own gods. They had taken on the pagan culture and decided to do their own things. And of course, as a result of that, God's hand was not upon them. He told them, as you obey me, my hand will be there. If you're not going to obey me, it will not be there. Even though I would even argue it, say God's hand has always been there to help them and keep them. Israel is still going today. And that's just amazing, even though they're not following him. I would still, Israel is into some dark days concerning their, you know, their holding on to the Messiah. They have, by and large, rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. You go to Israel today, and you'll see that that is not the case. Jesus is a historic event that took place, but he is not the Messiah, and that is very, very sad. But one day we know that they will accept Jesus Christ as Messiah. But because of that, there were a lot of difficult things that happened. And to be a prophet during that day, thus saith the Lord, was a very difficult and miserable thing. Because they were against the kings, the queens, the people. They were against the society at large. And they had a very unpopular message that you need to repent and get right. And thus saith the Lord. And if you don't, there's judgment coming. I'll give you a little sneak preview. One of the sign gift that was given of the tongues, actually Isaiah chapter 28 was given as a sign to Jewish people as coming judgment. To tell you the truth, that was the purpose for the gift. That's a little sneak preview into the future of what we're going to be looking at, but it was never meant, that's what it was. It was a sign to the Jewish people of God's judgment. Okay, now we'll get into more of that a little bit later, but God's judgment on the people. And so there's judgment on the people, and we find Elijah as one of these prophets that's desperately trying to do God's work, but it's discouraging, especially when God's leaders, the kings, were against. Well, in the north, we have King Ahab, and then, of course, his famous wife, Queen Jezebel. They were against God, of course. They were not for God. They were not for righteous living. And, of course, God's judgment would be upon there. In the time of Elijah, we understand one of those judgments was a time of famine. You remember that? And chapter 18 is the time of this. There's going to be famine in the land. And so we're in 1 Kings chapter 18. And we understand that there's been a couple years of famine. And then we get to the first verse, and we see that God has some things coming soon to change. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah the third year, saying, "Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Okay, now this is very interesting and very important. Do we have God's word concerning what's going to happen with the people? Yeah, what do we know? There's been a famine. This is in the third year of the famine. Question, would it be difficult to live in time of famine? Can you imagine a lack of water for 3 years? How much do we use water? It's not just to drink every day, but it's to do lots of things. We need water. Was it a trial of these people of Israel to be in famine for 3 years? Absolutely it was. Well, God comes and he tells Elijah that soon rain is going to come. Now that's going to be important because we're going to find ourselves at the end of the chapter, Elijah praying for rain. And Elijah comes back to what God had told him. He had given him some truth that he would latch onto and not forget. By the way, folks, that's one of the key things with your prayer. Many times God speaks to us through his word. No, it might not be one of these things that, I mean, what? There are some things that we know. We know that it is God's will to save people. We also know that it is God's, that God doesn't force people to be saved. We know that it's the will of man to accept Jesus Christ. But you know that God is willing and wants all men to come to the saving knowledge of the truth, right? We know that. And so when we pray for an unsaved neighbor, can we be assured that we're praying within God's will? What's the answer? Absolutely. Do we know that they're going to get saved? No, because God will leave that to man to trust him or not. But we do know, when I pray for my neighbor, I can be assured that I'm praying within God's will. There's never, God's will is not that any should perish, okay, right? He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, okay? That's his will. I know that I can pray that. But there are some things in life that God gives us through his word that we feel confident, not that we know everything. Folks, I do not know everything of what God's going to do, and I never will on this earth. I don't know about some things. I know that he would want my neighbor to be saved, but I don't know if he wants me to buy that vehicle. I don't know that, but I can pray, and God can give me confidence through his word. Listen to this. Confidence that I know that I'm praying in his will. There's a difference between confidence in praying in his will than praying and knowing that I'm going to get a certain thing. I don't know what God is going to do. I can be praying for something that seems like it's God's will, and God might not give that. And we learned the week of our revival meetings that that's only because God has something better. But it doesn't mean my prayer is wrong. If God led me to pray that prayer, then I ought to pray with it with full force and trust God that he's either going to give me that or he's going to give me something better. And while I'm praying, I know that Jesus is praying that better prayer for me. Father, Sean over here is praying for this. What a great prayer. And he's trusting you with this. But Father, you and I know that we've got something better for him. And Father, I'm praying that for him. And I know that that prayer is being made for me and the things that I have. Folks, I want to tell you something. There can be a lot of confidence in our prayer, even when we don't know what that for sure outcome is. But can I tell you tonight that we can pray with boldness for certain things? As God leads us to pray for certain things, God will give you a verse. He'll give you a truth. He'll give you some instruction. He'll give you some light in your circumstances. And as best you know, as you pray to the Lord and say, God, I want your will. I want what's best for my family. I want what's best for my ministry. I want that. As we're open to the Lord, God delights in our desires. And he says that he gives us the desires of our hearts. God will give us those things, and I can be 100% confident in the prayer that I'm praying. God, I believe up to right now that this is the best thing that you want me to pray for, and God, I am praying for that. You've given me your truth. You've given me counselors. You've given me people that I've talked to, and based on everything that I know about your kingdom, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? As best I know, God, before you, I believe that this would be a godly prayer. And you know, God is so good that he can give you confidence in the scriptures, even with verses that are not necessarily related to that. But he can just give, he can bear witness. That's what he does in his word. And I'll tell you, it gives you confidence to say, you know, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I can sure tell you that I believe I'm praying in God's will. And that is based upon God's truth. And God gives us truth. Folks, it is so important. When you're making decisions and you're knowing on what to pray, that's why we got to get into God's word. Get into God's word and let him bear witness for you that you're on the right path. You're on the right track. And he'll give that. It wasn't long ago. I was praying something. I'll just be honest with you. I was praying for something, and I believe with all of my heart that it seemed like it was consistent with his name, his will, with what would be best for our family, what would be best for the ministry, what would just all around, everything I could think of is just best. But I lacked the confidence. And I said, God, in fact, and I probably shouldn't have, because I feel like God had given many, many, many things. Given me some truth, you know, of leading us to that point. And our whole family was praying that way about something. We were praying and just felt a confidence there. But you know, it was a couple Sunday mornings ago. I got up that morning, and I'll be honest, it was one of those days. Remember, I started off with the big prayers. You know, some days you're just like ready to march around Jericho 7 times, and you're ready for the walls to come tumbling down. This was not one of those days. It was one of those days. It's kind of like dreary in your soul. God, you're not into this. And I was praying to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I do not want to be praying out of your will. I really want your will in this. I believe so far you have led 100% to pray this way, but God, it would just grieve me to know that I'm praying to get you to my side and not me coming to your side. God, would you show me something that I know that I wasn't asking that God would speak down from heaven. Yes, that's what I'm going to give you. I just wanted to know that I'm praying rightly. You know, it's a blessing. Take your Bibles, and this is not what I plan to give you this evening, but can you go to Psalm 37? Was it Psalm 37? Some reason, was it Proverbs? Yeah, it was Proverbs. Go to Proverbs. Obviously, there's not 37 chapters in Proverbs. I'll get it here. Proverbs. I'm guessing, kids, you don't remember, do you? I shared this with the kids. I know it was in Proverbs. Was it Proverbs 4? Yes, go to Proverbs chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. I really wanted to share this with you. Okay, let me take another time out. Have you ever been praying for something, whether it be anything, and you know that there are certain places in Scripture that might give you confidence with that kind of thing you're praying for? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe certain verses that you know are just, they tend to be those very positive. I don't know if you've ever read, I think it's in Proverbs chapter 21, the first couple verses there. It's all, you know, it's like the king, you've given the king his heart's desire, and you know, you've not withholden anything from his lips, and you know, I'm going to give it to you. You know, at any given day, I can go to Proverbs chapter 21 and be encouraged. I'm like, oh yeah, God's going to give me this today. I've read Proverbs 21 many times, and I don't know that many answers have come from that. But do you understand what I mean when there's certain passages of Scripture that are just very confident passages of God giving you, you know, just you know, trust me and I'm going to bring it to pass, one of those verses? I was being a little bit hard with the Lord that day and saying, God, I don't want to go to any one of those passages. Now, I wasn't trying to find the most miserable passage. I just said, God, I want to find a neutral place because I really want you to show me if I'm praying in the right way. And I was thinking, should I go to, for me, a lot of the encouraging passages go to Joshua and just read about the conquest. You know, I've given you this, you know, don't be afraid, go for it. I didn't want to go to Joshua that day. I didn't want to go to those things. Maybe like Gideon, I was saying, God, I really want you to prove to me that I'm praying right. And so I decided to say, okay, Proverbs is a Proverbs of wisdom. I'm going to go, and it must have been the fourth. As I went to this passage and I was reading, I said, God, I really need you to know. Listen to what I'm asking. You listen to what I'm asking. I said, God, I need to know if I'm praying right. Have you led me to pray for this? Now, this is how God works. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. And I read the first 10 verses and I got to verse 11. And this is what I read, knowing what I asked God. This is what God said. He said, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And that means they're not going to be narrow. I'm going to make them wide. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Now, I give you those things. I had specifically asked God to show me, am I going in your paths? Am I praying in the right way? I give you this an example because I read that. Now, you say, but Pastor, that verse could mean a lot of things. Right. But for me, God was showing me that day, like, listen, you're praying in my path. He didn't tell me, I'm going to give you that or I'm going to do that. But he did say, I've led you to where you're at this morning. And there's where I want you. And so I have confidence, and I still do to this day, that I'm praying in his will concerning that. That doesn't mean that I know. Now, we're going back to 1 Kings chapter 18. What did Elijah have from verse 1? Some confidence of what God had said, right? God had given him some things. We're in 3 years of famine. What's very unlikely? Rain. But yet he could go back at the end of the chapter after the prophets. You remember the story of the prophets of Baal? Mount Carmel and all that. And they go through it and they prove that God is God. We pick up at the end just for a few moments at the end of chapter 18. So let's look there. Back to chapter 18. He had gotten God's word. And then he goes through the prophets of Baal and we find ourselves in verse 41. Okay? And Elijah said unto Ahab, this is after that story is done. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink. Why? For there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now, I don't know how rain sounds, but he really didn't have much evidence that rain was coming, except for what God had given to him. Okay, in the first verse of the chapter, God tells Elijah, "Get ready because rain's coming." I believe that Elijah was in tune to the Lord. He said, "You know, this big battle has got to take place so they can see you're the true God." And somehow Elijah was in tune with the Lord to know that after this big battle, that God, he just felt that God was going to do something. And Elijah's probably very confident, and it's one of those mornings that you wake up that you're very confident. God's going to do this. And he tells Ahab, he said, "You better get ready because God's going to show up another time, not only just to defeat all these false prophets of Baal, but God's about ready to pour rain on this place." Well, you know, Ahab is probably thinking, "What are you talking about?" I want you to see just a couple points here. Elijah prayed based on what God had said. You know, in the Word of God, God has given us a few scriptures. What does he say in Psalm 37:4? "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." As we delight in him, folks, delighting in him is focusing on what he loves. And there's one place that we know what he loves, and that's his Word. As I saturate myself with God's Word, God gives me the confidence of his truth. Delight in his Word and cherish his Word. Want to know what God is leading you. God, I want to know, am I praying right? God's not going to withhold that. God's going to give you what you need so that you know how to pray. And Elijah remembered, and he was on top of it, and he said, "Listen, as I have given myself to the Lord, listen, I believe that God is going to do this." And he had a lot of confidence in that. God's going to do that for us. And I already quoted Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "As we seek first the kingdom of God." In other words, best I know that I feel like this is what God would choose. We're very limited on what we know, and many times we're very weak, and we're sin-filled people that don't understand. Sometimes we are blocked from truth, but we pray. But folks, I want to tell you something. If you honestly and genuinely want to know God's truth, he's going to show you if you're praying wrong. The only dangerous thing is when you don't want to know, is when you're saying, I don't want to hear, I don't want to listen to God. And by the way, when that's our case, what don't we want to do? Read the Bible. We don't want to read the Bible, and we don't want to go to church. We don't want to listen to his messages. Now, there's been times in my life that I've been there, and I didn't want to. I was scared to open the Bible because I didn't want to hear truth. That's a clear sign that we are not in, we're not on God's side of things. We are wanting our things. But as I can tell you this, as your pastor, I'm going to tell you this. I will really believe if you are honestly before the Lord, wanting to know his truth, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God is not going to lead you astray. That's why I have confidence in the verses. You say, "Pastor, were those verses really for you?" I believe they were, because I believe that I'm really wanting what God wants. And he told me, "I have led you in right paths." And I said, "Thank you, God. I needed that. I needed that desperately. I believe I'm praying in your path." I don't know what you're going to give in the end, but I know I'm on the right way. You see, as we delight, as we seek first the kingdom of God, he is not going to withhold that. He's going to let you know if you're praying wrong about something. He's going to take away the desire. He's going to change that desire. He'll change the circumstances. He will take that away. I want to encourage you to seek first the kingdom of God. God's going to do it. He's going to show you. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He's not going to play tricks on you. Matthew tells us in chapter 6, if you desire, or is it chapter 6 or chapter 7, if you desire bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you desire certain things, God is not just waiting to trick you. You know, there's no way that a good loving father, you know, to me a son, that says, "God, I really just want to know your truth today." God's not going to lead me to Proverbs chapter 4 and say, "I'm going to give you some verses that are very, very confident building verses. And I'm going to give those to you, Sean, because I want to fool you so bad." You see what I'm saying? God doesn't do that. A loving father doesn't do it. No, he's going to give you some good things, and we've got to trust that when we read that. You say, "God, thank you." It doesn't mean I know the future. It doesn't mean I know what he's going to do, but I know that I'm praying right. And so we need to understand that. And Elijah bases, you know, he bases prayer based on what God had said. We see next in verse 42 that Elijah was earnest in his prayer. Notice verse 42. "And Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he's getting ready, and he cast himself down upon the earth." and put his face between his knees. Folks, I want to tell you something. There's a position of earnest prayer here. Elijah is all about this. He's serious about what he's doing. I mean, Elijah was a serious guy in what he did. We can tell, you know, this last illustration, who's God? Okay, let's do this thing. I mean, he's serious. When it comes to prayer, there is no question that he's very serious about this. The question here is, how serious are we in our prayer? Are we earnest in our prayer? Elijah is coming to the Lord with a big prayer, and he's going to pray something big. And I'll tell you what, he's going to wrestle and battle through it for a little while. Remember, we're talking about the big prayers that we have. He's going to wrestle and battle through it for a while, but I can tell you, he earnestly wanted what God wanted. He earnestly wanted God's truth. He earnestly wanted God to show him and give him a sign that his word was going to be fulfilled. And so what does he do? We see here that he throws himself on the ground. He cast himself down upon the earth. I mean, how many of us have demonstrated it? By the way, it doesn't mean you're sincere. You don't have to just flop on the ground. But I'll tell you what, this man was serious, and he's going before an almighty God, and he said, God, I need you to show up here. And so he casts himself down on the ground, and he puts his face between his knees, and he goes down. Why? Because he's effectually and fervently praying, as James says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He has given himself earnestly to prayer. Folks, a lot of times we expect God to do big things. We have no truth to back it up because they're our own things, and we don't get serious about praying. Oh, we want big things, but let me ask you a question. You know, you might have come up with some serious things that you want God to do. How serious and earnest are you at praying for those things? God can do it with one prayer, but he loves to see his saints continually coming and bowing before them. I need this, Daddy. I need this. I need you to meet this need in my life. You know, if any one of my children continually come to me, they're listening right now. They're like, oh, I'm going to get something out of my dad here. This is what I'm going to do. But if as small children, they come up and they just continue, you can see that they're just like, please, please, please. There's a natural tendency within a father to try to meet that need. You want to do that. Now, it might not always be what they best need, but we can say we want to meet that need. Folks, our Heavenly Father loves to see that from us. He wants to see that we're serious about it. Psalm 145, verses 18 and 19, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. I picked those two verses because of the words call and cry. We see an earnestness about this prayer. Question, do you call and cry to the Lord concerning these requests? Some of us are so simple and scared to pray big that we certainly don't call and we certainly won't cry. In fact, we're so scared about it, we kind of lower our voice and say, God, if it would please you, and I hope I'm right, and I don't know. Why are we so timid? God says to boldly come before the throne of grace. Say, God, as best I know, I need this, and I need you to do this now. God, would you do that? Jeremiah says in chapter 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Matthew says in chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. The problem is that we're not serious about our asking. Thirdly, in verse 43, we see Elijah expected God to work, but had to wait. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and he said, there is nothing. Is that a hard answer for you? It is for me. You get excited about something, you feel like you got God's will, you feel like you're praying the right way, you feel like you're confident, you feel like you're praying fervently about it. You even gone under the ground and you've put your head, you know, between your knees and you're saying, God, I need you. You've come boldly before the throne of grace and you send your servant out and you're expecting God to answer. And the servant comes back and says, there's not a cloud in the sky. Nothing. That's discouraging, isn't it? It's discouraging. We're like, God, what'd you do this for? It's been the same thing for the last 900 days. Not a cloud in the sky, nothing. God, why did you, see, we tend to question, we tend to say, God, did you lead me? Am I wrong in this? Am I, you know, and he would have to encourage himself in the Lord and go back to what God says. But it's kind of a discouraging thing. And sometimes in life when we pray for these big things, sometimes we got to wait for those things. Patiently wait. Patiently wait for God's right timing. God had a time, but folks, can I tell you, it's not just that the circumstances need to change for this to be right. In some cases, God is doing a perfect work in your life to produce patience out of you. He wants you to wrestle with it. He wants you to grapple with it. He wants you to go through difficult times so that he can mature you and strengthen you. Oh, I've been reminded of that so often in the last couple months. Sean, I am doing this so that you can learn to trust me. Faith is only faith when there is wrestling going on. Faith is only faith when there's darkness, when there's no sight, when there's no shore, when there's storms, when there's clouds. That's when faith is. How can I grow in my faith if I'm not put into a place of faith? When you see the light, when you see the shore, when you see... When everything's there and everything is doable, it requires no faith and my faith will never be increased. I was reminded recently that most of the time our trials result because of a prayer that we make, sometimes not knowing what we're praying for, saying, God, increase my faith. There was probably a time several years ago that I said, God, I really would like to grow in faith. And he said, Sean, you got it. The thing is that was only meant as a good thing from the Father. He wasn't saying, you got it. Now I'm going to give it to you. No, he was saying, you got it, son. I'm going to do something special for you. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. You're going to wrestle. And you're going to think that it's never going to come. Can I tell you, there's a Heavenly Father that's just going like this, John, I got something really good for you. And you just wait, because I think that you need a little bit more wrestling. And you need a little bit more working through this. But I'm doing a perfect work, and when I do, it's going to be better than if I would give it to you earlier. For you and for me. And we see this, persevering prayer. You know, Elijah, you know, you think that a godly man, he was the prophet of God. You would have thought that he would ask for what he wills and he would have got it right then and there. But no, he went and the servant comes back and says, nothing. Really? Nothing. And how many times would it take? Seven times. Now, I don't know if he sent him out every 7 minutes. I don't know if it was every 7 days. I don't know if it was every day. I don't know how long it was. But we know that he sent his servant out 7 times. All right, servant. I've been praying up a storm here, literally. Head out. I want you to go to the top of the mountain. Look towards the sea. That's where the sea, I can still picture it. You know, Mount Carmel is there. And you overlook the Jezreel Valley, but behind you is the Mediterranean Sea. That's where the clouds would have come. That's where the storm would have brewed over the water. And then they would come inland and come right over Mount Carmel, and that's when the storm would come. It was really neat when we were in Israel. It hardly rained at all the whole time we were there. But when we were on top of Mount Carmel, we were standing there, and the guide was going to us, and guess what? And it started just pouring on us. And we ran inside. There's a little place there to go and look inside and look over the Jezreel Valley. But I thought that was really neat, getting drenched there on Mount Carmel. But it was a vivid picture of what it must have looked like when God opened the windows of heaven. It just poured on us for probably 5 minutes, and then it stopped. But 5 minutes of heavy, heavy, heavy rain, just to picture this. You know what? This guy, Elijah's praying, and he's praying. And then the next, I'm just going to say day. Let's pretend it was the next day. I don't know how long it was, but the next day, you know what? He's worked up. He's prayed for it. He says, servant, I want you to go out. And he's confident that God's going to do it. And the servant goes out. And we know, he says it just in one phrase, but going out seven times, but there had to have been a coming back. That servant came back. And what was the answer the second time? Nothing. Next day. Nothing. Fourth day. Nothing. I mean, I want you to think about that. But God, you gave us your word. You said that rain was coming. Am I on the wrong time? Am I praying in the wrong? Is this something? I don't know. The scriptures do not say anything about Elijah's. We just only can pull upon the fact that he was a human being. And it took seven times, back and forth, seven times. You know, now seven times, significant to us. It doesn't mean that you're going to get it on the seventh day. But it does mean this, there's a season for each of us to wait. God wants us to wait upon him. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall what? Strengthen thy heart. He's leading us to strengthen us. My friend, if you're here and you're praying for God to do something, and I look across the room, no doubt that you are praying for something. You're praying for a loved one to get saved. You're praying for provisions for something. You're praying that God would relieve you of this physical ailment. You're praying to God that he would do something for somebody else. You're praying, and there are some days that are solid, and you know that God's going to do it, and there's other days you're like, where is it at? Elijah had to go through that, and he continued on, and he didn't stop. And no doubt, I believe with all my heart, he would have continued on to the eighth and the ninth and the tenth day until God would do it. But he knew God was going to do it based upon his word. So he continued to be persistent in prayer. Remember Luke 18, which tells us when the disciples asked how to pray, what was the answer? I want you to pray with persistence. I want you to continually pray. Listen, importunity is the word. I want you to continue to ask. I want you to continue to ask and continue to ask. I was recently reading a devotional that somebody else wrote, and they made a point. They said, I wonder how many things we were persistent at praying for, and in the last moment, right when God was ready to answer, you stopped praying for it. I don't know about the theology with that, and I don't know how God works with that, but I wonder sometimes if we give up on God because we stopped on the sixth day. Now, I don't know, but I'm just saying we need to be persistent in prayer until either God, I'm going to say this, and I think I can say this with authority, I believe that we should pray for the things that God has laid on our hearts to pray for until he either gives it to us or he changes the desire, closes the door. To stop without him doing that is to give up on God. I want to encourage you to continue to pray for those things if you feel like it's best that it fits into the kingdom of God and his righteousness, delighting yourself also in the Lord. God is giving that. He's confirmed it through his word that you ought to be praying for it. You ought to continue to pray for it, and God changes the situation or gives it to you. If you really want to know what's right, I think you need to continue on with that until he changes. God is not, as a good father, he's not going to let you continue to pray for something that's not right. If you want to know, he's going to change it. We see that Elijah, well, we see in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We see next that Elijah was keen to see the work of God begin and counted God faithful and righteous with the littlest of his workings. What did he see in verse 44? What came? And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. If I'm praying for rain tomorrow, I typically pray that it doesn't rain. Probably if I was a farmer, I'd be praying that it does rain. But if I were a farmer praying for rain, and I woke up one day and I went outside and all I saw was a little cloud in a blue sky as big as a man's hand, I would say, go back in, wait till the eighth day, right? But do you see the faith that this man had? He saw a little cloud in the sky. And he was keen on what God was about to do. And for him, that little, if I could put it this way, like what I read that day, that little verse, that little sign, that little thing, because he was within God's will. He was praying for God's will. He was expecting God to do it, and God gave a little cloud, and he ran with it. Because a good God doesn't give little clouds to his people that he loves. God gives good things. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God gave that little cloud to that servant to give to Elijah, and when Elijah saw it, he ran with it with more faith and trusted in God. Folks, I want to tell you something. As we're praying for things and God gives you positive things to keep going, you jump on it and run with it, because that's God's sign that he wants you on that path. And that's what he did. He jumped on that thing. It was exciting to him. I'm reminded of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when those kings were come against him, and those people had gotten a word from the Lord, and they had a prayer meeting thanking God before the victory was won for them. They didn't need much, but God's voice, God's cloud, they didn't need much, and they're saying, God, thank you. How many of us are thanking God for what he's going to do already? All we need is a little token of God's goodness, and we should run with it. And also in verse 44, we see Elijah expected God to do more than was necessary. So he sees his cloud like a man's hand, and he said, what does he say? He said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. What was Elijah expecting? I mean, you think about 3 years famine. If it would have rained for 10 minutes, would those people have been excited? Probably so. I mean, they haven't had an ounce of rain for 3 years. A 10-minute rain would be a blessing. But that's not the message that he's given to Ahab. He said, you better get out of here, because the rain is coming so much that you are going to drown in it if you don't get out of here. Do you know, folks, that when we pray for God, I'm guessing that even in our big prayers, we're not praying big enough, because God has windows of blessing to come beyond our feeble minds of prayer. I believe even in our big prayers that God is saying, Sean, you don't know what I can do. But Elijah expected God to do more. He said, listen, God is going to give. Now, in the light of giving, I understand. But Malachi, I love the principle that said in Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. He says, listen, you do your duty. You bring your tithe, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. As we pray, as we trust God, as we follow God in faith, God has so much more in store for us than we have in mind. And I think Elijah understood that. He said, listen, God's, all he could see was a little cloud the size of a man's hand. And he says, God's going to do something. God is going to do something. Ahab, you better get out of here, because the rain is coming. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So my question to you as we close today is, how are you doing with those big prayers? How are you doing with those? Are you weak in faith? Are you giving up? Are you fervent in it? Are you trusting God? Folks, I want to encourage you. I don't know what God has led you to pray, and these are only God-led prayers. We're not talking about something that's just of our own volition. We're talking about God-led prayers. But as God has led you, that's consistent with his will, consistent with his name, consistent with his word, as God has led you to pray for those things, as he's given you truth, folks, I want to tell you, we need to grab a hold of that truth, and we need to run with it. And we need to pray like Elijah did, not giving up, expecting God to do great things, and trusting him that when he does, he's going to pour out more blessing than we ever expected. Father, thank you for the truth that you've given to us tonight. I don't know why you gave me this to give, but Lord, you did. Lord, I pray that you would work it in my life. I know that I need it. I find myself very weak in my faith many days. Lord, I pray that I would learn to trust you through that time, through those trials. Lord, it's going to be faith. There are days that we're going to wake up and we don't see any coaster, any shore, any light, anything good. That's what makes it faith. But Lord, I pray that we would go back to the truth and we'd stick with the truth and we expect you to do great and mighty things. God, help us. Lord, help us. Thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, help us to be people that grow in faith and prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.